evening, everyone, and welcome to the regularly scheduled Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. It's approximately 7:15 p.m. We apologize for being a little late. This board met in an executive session at 6 p.m., and during that time, we discussed a number of legal and personnel matters. So I've now called the meeting to order. I'd ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please do the roll, or take the roll?
Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Zavada?
Here.
Supervisor Wayhoff?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
And Supervisor Bruza?
Here.
Five present.
Very good. Thank you. Quorum, we will move forward. Before we get into the agenda, make the normal housekeeping announcement, which is, although it's posted within the meeting room at various locations, I'm advising all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And that kind of dovetails into the next item on the agenda, which is visitor public comment. So anyone wishing to come to the podium when we begin visitor public comment, we just ask that you indicate your first name, last name, and address, and then we typically give 3 minutes for any speaker to make their point. You're essentially placing your comment into the record. So with that, we're going to move forward with visitor public comment. There's one session now and one at the end of the meeting. So at this time, anybody wishing to come forward to the podium, please do so. And again, just state your name, first name, last name, and address. And you know, I'll keep time, but you know, try to be flexible.
That work?
Yeah, just pull the mic a little higher, like that's
how does it work?
Yes. Well, I can hear you. I don't know. Can people in the audience hear?
Oh. How's that?
No.
Is that better?
Should be green.
Is that better?
It's good for us. We can hear
okay,
you.
Well, I'm going to be brief. Okay. It seems that over the last 3 months, we've been coming here tell you about...
I'm sorry.
Robert Davis, 1768 Church Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, Derry Township, of course, 17036. It seems to me that you think that we came here to blow smoke at you. We've been complaining about speeding on Church Road. Now I've seen Derry Township trucks racing up Church Road at 50 miles an hour, or thereabouts. So it seems like you guys don't really care about the danger that this is providing to the people that live there. I want something done about it, and I want it done now. You know, this time, the time for study is long gone. We've been complaining about this for years, and we started coming to the meetings this year, and I started recruiting people to come. Well, I'm not the only voice you get to hear tonight. So, something needs to be done about the speeding on Church Road. And I don't mean after a 6-month study or a 1-year study. I don't even see this thing, I don't even see the police come out of Church Road anymore. They did before, but now I don't see them at all. So, okay, that's what I have to say. You need to do something, and you need to do something now, not more delays. It's been 3 months. 3 months. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
I've been here before, I'm sure you recognize me, complaining about the speed on Church Road.
Mr.
And
Helma,
the inability
Mr. Helma,
of us to...
I know your name, but you still have to say
it. My name is William Helmer, and I'm a about 1758 Church Road. Been here since 1965 and have seen a very much of an increase in the volume of traffic, not just coming or going in Derry Township, but some of our friends out in Conewago find it the best way to get into Hershey, be it to shop or be it to work or whatever. And just this afternoon, one of my neighbors pointed out that, I don't know whether it was the Department of Public Works, but somebody came out and put a little black box on this one of the signposts right in my driveway. That's fine. And oddly enough, at 6 o'clock tonight, when I'm waiting for another one of my neighbors, well, Bob Davis had just spoke to show up to give me a ride here, and it seemed as though traffic was moving much slower than we had noticed before. I saw no one that I thought was under the influence, or his accelerator was stuck, or some other weak excuse. And that's great. So now what that little black box is, I don't know. But I looked at it. Of course, it was a closed box with a cable and a padlock on it. So that didn't tempt me or anybody else to attempt to look a little further. Now, that's great. And I understand from minutes of the Public Works, I guess it is, committee, that the consideration is being done for possible stop signs, four-way stop, at the intersection of Church, Lexington, and Hilltop Road. That would help us a great deal. What I just experienced recently, more so than before, and particularly if there's a major event going on in Hershey, or even at rush hour, peak hour at night, as people are going home. When traveling on 743, it seems as though once they leave the traffic intersection, they're by the Giant Foods, and they're heading south on 743, the pedal is down on the metal. That is, it's wide open. And for us to get out of Church Road onto Fishburne Road, as we call it, or 743, is not an easy thing. So I'm not sure what you all can do about that. But my wife is very insistent on stop signs. Well, we have a stop sign in a Church Road. No question. What we don't have is sight distance. If I'm there, and I don't know whether it's just paranoia on my part, but all it takes is one little car, 10 big ones, how about a couple tractor trailers? Once they leave that signal intersection of Coco, right there by the Giant Foods, and head south on 743. It's wide open. They go right past. But then the problem is, we're waiting to get out to make the left. Good luck. You can't half see the bushes right at that, on the left side of that intersection, should be trimmed. Now, I don't know whether they're on public property or whether they're in somebody else's backyard. I don't know where the property lines are, but somebody does, and nobody's doing anything about it. So I strongly request that some of those bushes be trimmed back before somebody gets hurt. Just tonight, in coming here, I'm looking. Well, I look to the right, nothing coming, but that's easy. You can see them coming over the hill past the Fishburne Church. But looking up to my left, coming out of town, it looked clear. So I started to pull out, and oh, all of a sudden, here's a car. It wasn't close enough to get me, or he didn't try hard enough to I don't know. But those bushes have got to be trimmed. The sight distance is horrible. And that's my speech for tonight, I think. I appreciate you listening, and I would hope that Public Works can do something about it, or does PennDOT have to do it, because 743 is a state road. So who's responsible for those bushes in that intersection? I can only say I'm not. If I was responsible, they'd be cut back. Pronto.
And Tom,
any questions?
No, I don't, Mr. Elmer, but I do want to emphasize that the point that he's making is a good one, because I've noticed it lately, too. You know, this weather in the summer, things are growing fast, and I've noticed those bushes, they're starting to encroach, and it is difficult with the sight lines, and I'm glad Mr. Elmer is here to point it out to us tonight, but I really don't know either if it's the property owners that have to cut that back, but they've gotten big, those trees, and it is more and more difficult. We have to pull further out into that intersection to get a clear line to the left. And so, Mr. Turnbull, thank you for raising that tonight. I think that is something. I know we've done that in the past. We've communicated to homeowners to cut them back.
If anybody doesn't believe what I'm talking about, just take a little drive out there. You'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won't get hit with them. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And then to just address that topic generally on Church Road, because Mr. Davis and Mr. Elmer have come, got to some of the seminar, a number of times over the last couple of months. And I know that they are frustrated at the fact that it's taking time, but there is, and I'm looking sort of at Mr. Chrisman and maybe at Mrs. Nunn and Mr. Zmuda, but we have been trying to address it in different ways, and I don't know if the chief wants to chime in too, but this would be an appropriate time to sort of give an update on what we have considered and what we're trying to do.
We discussed that this morning at the transportation meeting, and we asked the chief for some comments, and I think it should come right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Chief? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. So, Public Works Director, Mr. Clark, and I reviewed that site, and I think there's some pavement markings that he is looking at putting down in the area of the S-curves to try to give some visual warning to try to slow down. We're going to be putting out some lines for speed enforcement, throwing the V-spec. Obviously, I've been beating the drum to try to get our legislators on board and approve radar, which would be a lot easier to run out there, especially in that area, to do some speed enforcement. But they're not budging on that, so we'll use the antiquated methods that we have to us right now. The black box, all right, is actually a gray box, but it's a statistical gathering device. It's covert. Motors don't usually see it, so they will carry on with their normal speeds that they would normally drive that road instead of having the sign out there that visually displays their speed. So we are gathering statistical information at different segments of Church Road all the way out to the township line. So we'll be doing that. That got delayed. That device was equipped with a 3G technology. When we had it, it had to be sent back to upgrade it to 5G. So that took several weeks to get that back because they had to get the parts in to upgrade it. So we just got that back, I would say, maybe about 2 weeks ago, and have been deploying it at some places that we had scheduled to deploy that. So that is what that is. It's a radar device, so we can use it for statistical information. We just can't use it to enforce the laws. So that's where we're at. There's a study being done on both the intersection at Hilltop in church, and then also McCorkle and church. Both of those intersections are being reviewed for the possibility of one-way stops at those intersections. So we have things in progress. The enforcement of the speed limits is a little tough right now. We're down in personnel. We're busy on calls. We try to get to different places that we can get to when time permits. So that is far and few between. We're not able to do it much proactively these days. So when we get time, we try to use some enforcement. And it's not just Church Road. We have, and you folks know, we get complaints from all over the township. So 26 square miles, and we have a couple of officers that maybe can have new enforcement here and there. We're stretched thin. So, but we're trying, and we'll keep trying. And hopefully we can get some of the studies that we're doing and so forth, and reference to the stop signs, get those completed, and make some recommendations.
Just so I know, Chief, does PennDOT have to approve stop signs at those intersections?
Yeah, we would have to coordinate those. They're township roadways. But there are specific guidelines when it comes to placing stop signs. There has to be criteria that is met, and that's why we take all the steps that we do. You know, measuring the volume of cars, pedestrians, corner sight distance, average speeds, 85th percentile speeds, and all those things factor in to permitting the posting of an all-way stop.
All right, thank you, Chief. So, if there's nothing else, that is any other public comment during this session? Well, then we'll, as I said, there's a second public comment session at the end of the meeting, and we will move to the next item on the agenda, which is our consent calendar. The first item, there are four items under the consent calendar. These can all be taken together in one motion or separately. That's at the discretion of the board. The first item is the adoption of the Board of Supervisor minutes for the July 26, 2022 regular meeting. The second item, which is B, is the release of the remaining balance of financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for Hemlock Court, S-2018-024. The third item is C, it's the reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for Trogues Independent Brewing, Plat 1341. And item D is the approval of the August 9th, 2022 accounts payable in the amount of $368,002.70, payroll in the amount of $350,825.01, and from August 23rd, 2022, the accounts payable in the amount of $820,069.45, and payroll in the amount of $376,451.53. So I will leave it to my colleagues. We can take these items in one motion or individually.
I will make a motion that we accept items A through D on the consent calendar.
A motion made by Mr. Wyckoff to approve all items on the consent calendar in one motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. And are there any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That will take us to new business. The first item under new business is A. It's the consideration of proposed demolition of existing structure and construction of a restaurant and associated improvements at 150 West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, within the downtown core overlay zoning district. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The downtown area of Hershey has had specific regulations and design standards since the adoption of the 1993 zoning ordinance. They were developed based in part on the 1991 comprehensive plan, which also referenced the report of the Downtown Hershey Preservation Committee, from 1986. The minutes of the Chocolate Avenue meeting of 1988, notes from the Hershey Business Association meeting, and numerous other works that were done during the comprehensive plan. Interestingly, the first slide that I have tonight is from a 1991 sign study that was done downtown. It's just relevant to the rest of my staff, a portion of the rest of my staff comments in talking about where Ridge Road was and where it is now. So it's just an interesting piece of history. This application is presented to the board for two purposes. First, the Board of Supervisors has sole approval authority for any new construction of a principal building located in downtown Ford Overlay District, as well as demolition of existing buildings or structures that comprise, where the demolition comprises more than 50% of the visible area of the building. Second, when an application to the Zoning Hearing Board is not accepted in writing by the applicant, the application is automatically brought to the Board of Supervisors for consideration. In this case, that's relevant to the site amenities that accompany the application for the terraces. Jeff Roth of TKS Hershey Realty LLC proposes the demolition of the existing building at 150 West Chocolate Avenue and the construction of a new single-story building branded as a Tika Shack. Interestingly, again, in this picture, that is the 150 West Chocolate Avenue. The portion of the property, I guess we'll go one more view of the old gas station, and also the price of gas was $1.22 a gallon. We can all cry just a little bit for that. Portion of the site that's proposed for development is actually owned by the township and leased to the property for parking. The lease area. Now let me just explain this a little bit. The grade area is where that gas station used to sit. And that property was purchased by the township to align Ridge Road with Mill Street as it exists there today. The parking area that is leased is represented in a bolder line on this plan.
Chuck, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's leased or there's an easement?
It's leased. Well, it's an easement. Yeah, fair enough. There's no lease payments. It's an easement for parking.
Thanks.
Sure. The plan that's proposed as part of the application shows some additional improvements on that area. Again, the grade area is the area technically owned by the township. They're proposing a ramp from the sidewalk up to the back of the proposed building and an expansion of the parking area as well as some of the bicycle parking facilities on the township property. So ultimately, if the township approves this application, the parking easement agreement will need amended, or should be amended. So, related to the demolition of the existing buildings, the zoning ordinance notes that all buildings in the downtown should relate to and respect the continuity and character of the existing block fronts and adjacent buildings that are such a strong determinant of the character of the overlay. The goal is to maintain quality of character and spatial continuity. To promote this principle, the ordinance states that adaptive reuse of existing buildings shall be utilized to the greatest extent possible. When demolition is proposed, the burden of the applicant to demonstrate the feasibility of adaptive reuse is based on some criteria. The first is that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse. And as a result, the demolition of the existing building is in the best interest of public safety and welfare. The applicant is to provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate the structural disrepair. The next item of testing is that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with the surrounding uses will be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure and construction of a new building. And finally, that the safety of vehicular and pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable with construction of a new building. For construction of the new building, the applicant has provided both elevation views of the proposed building and some perspective views of the proposed building shown in the background. The for the site of, in the case of the construction of the new building, the board needs to make the determination whether the new building is designed to relate to and respect the continuity and character of the existing block fronts and adjacent buildings that are such a strong determinant of the character of the overlay. So far as site elements that were brought before the design board, it was really kind of broken up in three parts: the proposed signage, the site elements being the parking and landscaping and so on, and exterior lighting devices. The sign portion of the application was withdrawn in front of the design board, so it wouldn't be appropriate to speak about that this evening either. The design board did meet on this project on July 25th. Related to the demolition of the existing building, the design board made a recommendation that the Board of Supervisors that approval of the demolition be denied, as the applicant did not provide credible testimony that the application satisfied the three requirements that I wrote. For additional reasons, as recommended in their denial. Regarding the design standards for the construction of the new building, the design board again made a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that approval of the construction of the new building be denied, as the applicant did not provide credible testimony that the applicant satisfied the requirements for demolition of the existing building, which denial would preclude construction of the new building. And finally, regarding the site features, the site elements, and exterior lighting, the board made a similar determination to the construction of the new building that, in essence, that the denial of the construction of the building would preclude the site elements, determining that there would be no reason to approve those as well. Without receiving an extension of time from the applicant, the board will have to act on this application tonight, or it could become deemed approved. With that said, barring any new compelling testimony offered tonight, I support the design board's recommendation for all the elements of application 471. I do believe it's appropriate to allow the applicant to present some case. And the applicants are here this evening.
Please come forward.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. My name is Matt Luttrell. I'm here this evening on behalf of the owner, Mr. Jeff Roth, who's back here as well, and he would like to speak at the end if he could. First of all, thank you very much for your time this evening, supervisors, township staff, etc., and the public for taking time to consider our argument, our presentation here. We're not intending to be argumentative, so. However, we are intending to be persuasive, if at all possible. So, first of all, I want to give you a little bit of history. Mr. Roth, who is part of the ownership group here, who is a business owner in the community as well as a resident in the community, his kids went to school here, as a community member, he's very interested in continuing to develop a vibrant, sustainable downtown area. And his current business is just outside of the downtown on the end. As a business owner, he also recognizes that in order to continue to enhance and build upon what has been taking place in the downtown area, he feels that what's being proposed here this evening is in the best interest of everyone involved. And I am sincere in representing that on behalf of Mr. Roth, so we're not intending to be anything other than trying to comply with the intention of the ordinance. With that being said, if I could... And thank you, Chuck, for summarizing that. I felt like after the past meeting that the issue, the primary issue, was relating to the demolition of the structure. And We do believe that there is some ambiguity within that because it uses some terms such as structurally or infeasible and disrepair. And because of the lack of definition, I believe that any structure is capable of being repaired. I think there's no doubt about that. As far as the infeasibility, I'd like to speak to that, and then I will be as concise and efficient as possible to go through the presentation. So with regards to the feasibility, the proposed use, which is allowable per the ordinance, is a restaurant. And the existing footprint presents some challenges. The existing structure presents some challenges. The existing structure was originally designed as a residential property with a center bearing wall. As a residential property, we had a structural engineer come in, and that's part of the exhibit which is attached. The original structure, the floor structures within it, can support 40 pounds per square foot. The code required is 100 pounds per square foot for an A2 restaurant. In addition to that, you can see it was originally a duplex, which there's a center bearing wall down there, which will need to be removed, which is going to lead to a series of other things. The existing structure is two stories plus an attic and a basement, and the current code does not allow for that. The current code as a 5B construction for an A2 or a restaurant use group allows for two stories in a sprinkler condition, and we have two stories plus an attic and a basement. And then on top of that, the existing basement is only 6 feet 8 inches. The code requires that interior environments have a 7-foot ceiling height. So that makes the basement, and 7 foot is limited to storage and other type of areas. Generally, it's higher. So that makes the basement situation challenging. The center bearing wall is challenging. The other portion is the existing stairs on the outside or within the building. There are two, because it was a duplex, are not usable in the proposed scheme. So in order to change this to a restaurant, we're going to be doing a very significant interior renovation, essentially gutting the structure in an effort to make it code compliant and usable. Obviously, as a business, Mr. Roth and the ownership group would like to attain a certain level of seating available. The existing parking lot supports 13 parking spaces. The ordinance allows for three seats per for interior seats per parking space and six seats for exterior. The scheme that we've developed works with 13 parking spaces, so there would be no need to necessarily modify the parking lot in any way. However, we are proposing, as part of compliance with the ordinance, where we're trying to make it a more accessible structure, we're also proposing an ADA accessible ramp accessed off of Ridge Road, so you don't need to go down the alley since there's no sidewalk in the alley and there's no accessible route from Chocolate Avenue. And then we do have some bike racks on there as well. They could easily be moved if that became not desirable by the township. So, with that being said, as we get down through, as Chuck mentioned, we did remove the signage. We did identify, thanks to Chuck and David, that there were some deficiencies relative to the proposed signage, and we'll be retracting that at this point. However, the general aesthetic is very much, I believe, in compliance with the ordinance as it lists out the commercial requirements. The materials, the color scheme, the scale, we're reusing the existing footprint. We're maintaining the sight lines along the front with the porches. We're maintaining the visual regulating lines with the front porches, with the roof lines, etc. And then at the request of the owner, we're using some similar elements to across the street as well. So we are attempting to combine some of the existing historic components in the downtown area along with some of the more recent elements. And again, the intent there is to meet the requirements according to the downtown core overlay design standards. We are, I believe, respecting the continuity continuity and character of the existing block fronts and adjacent buildings. And we're also, per the very first requirement of the downtown core standards, I feel that we are maintaining the pattern of what the historic character and pattern of this area is. Effectively, that's it. I'd love to. We do have a bunch of questions about the ordinance that we would love to engage in conversation, and Chuck has been very forthright about that. We do feel that the ordinance is somewhat ambiguous relative to the structure, not whether or not it is structurally viable, but I don't understand the intent because there are a variety of buildings in the downtown area. It's protecting everything down there, and I'm not quite sure why. I feel like if there was a desire to have a historic board, we would adopt something accordingly, or identify buildings at the very least that we would deem to be historic in nature relative to Derry Township. And there are a number. There are very beautiful structures downtown. As an architect, and just a side note, I don't necessarily think every building contributes to the historic character of a community. And I think some do in the downtown area. I don't necessarily think this does, even though it may be an example of a given structure. With that, I will take any questions, or I'll allow Mr. Roth to make a presentation.
Why don't we have Mr. Roth come up first, and then if we have any questions.
I would like to request a larger podium.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. Some of you guys I know, some of you that I don't. I've been in the community for about 20 years now. I live about 6 minutes down the road this way. Kids went to Hershey High School, Hershey Middle School, cheerleading, football. I played football. I supported many teams in the community. I know there was a big backlash of a new person coming to the town. And I just wanted to show my face today and let you know that it's not in the face. It's somebody that's been here forever. I mean, not forever, but a long time. And I've been in the community and worked with a lot of, seen a lot of kids go through my, I have the Fuddruckers right down the road. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. And we used to support a lot of the school functions and the football team and little leagues and all that stuff. And I personally believe this is a great thing to add to the downtown community, to be honest with you. It really matches up beautifully with what's across the street on both sides. We have across the street with the whole new area down across the street with the Iron Hill and all that good stuff across the street. And then we also have the Chipotle, which is right on the other side of us, which I think they took three houses down for that, I was thinking. But I think it's becoming time to where we move into the future on the downtown, and I think it's only going to benefit everybody that lives in Hershey. That will be to create tax dollars to help schools and to help roads and to make it a better community to be in. I think the downtown community's helped doing that already. It's always full of people going to the park and helping the whole Hershey community getting better. I don't think that people actually realize that all this improvement actually makes Hershey a better place and brings in more income to the area. And if we try to do the house over, like Matt was saying, it's going to be extremely challenging. And I don't think it'll look as pretty as that. We want to turn it into that. We hope with your guys' blessing that we can turn it into something that looks like that. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things that are out of code, actually, right now in the house. Even the way it sits. The floor joists aren't up to code. The basement height isn't up to code. Like he mentioned about the third floor. We'll probably have to take the whole roof off, get rid of all the floors. I'm not sure what we would have to do to the basement. I know we have to reconstruct the whole bottom flooring to make it 100 PSI instead of 40 PSI, where it was. So it's going to be quite a challenge, and I think aesthetically, I know that the downtown board is looking for this mainly an aesthetic option. I think aesthetically it is I mean, I think that looks great. I don't know about your guys' opinion. I know you have to keep quiet right now, but it makes the corner a pretty corner. I mean, I just have to be realistic about it, and that's my opinion. And I think it'll dress up the downtown, it'll dress up that corner, and it'll bring it to the 21st century. So I really wanted you guys to see my face and know that I really wasn't just somebody that was just, you know, trying to barrel into Hershey and try to do something. So I'm here, I'm committed, I have a business here, I don't have another business here. And I appreciate all you guys' time tonight. I really do. Thank you. And questions for both of us?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Roth. Do we have anybody have individual questions for Mr. Rotrow and Mr. Roth?
Thank you both for your presentation. So my question is, there are 5 homes that look very similar. Many of them are being used as businesses right now. My first question is, the current structure can be used for lots of things, correct? It doesn't have to be a restaurant. It's currently being used for a office space?
Right. We bought it with the intention of turning it into a restaurant.
Okay.
At the time, that was our sole goal.
Okay. And there are options to turn it into a restaurant, correct? Without
it'll be very
demolishing
difficult.
It.
It'll be very, like I mentioned, it needs a lot of, it's basically going to be demolished, but not demolished for the most part.
Does the Tikka Shack require certain specs on a property to have a Tikka Shack?
They require a certain floor plan.
Okay.
That we have to follow, which we will have to, all the walls will come out in the middle. Everything's going to have to be gutted, the whole entire building. And we'll have to create new walls, we'll have to trench in new plumbing, new electric. It's all going to be brand new.
But an independent restaurant might have more leeway in terms of using what, potentially?
I think we're pretty liberal in what we can do, actually. Do we have Chuck, do we have the floor plan on there? I think we do. We have the full set of plans, right? It's not a fantastic floor plan. I mean, we only have 40 seats. It's not very intricate.
We have 32 seats inside.
Yeah, there's not really much.
10 on the exterior.
It's not a ton that's going on in there. It's really small.
But there's lots of options for keeping the outside structure for other options.
Well, we are keeping the same footprint. We're not changing anything.
It looks a lot different than the adjacent properties.
Well, yes, and hopefully the goal is to make it look that different, whether we demolish it or not.
So my next question is, the homes that are next door that are being used as offices or businesses, they're similar in terms of when they were built and their current structure, correct, Chuck? Like, they're about the same. All of them were built about the same time frame.
One would think, but I haven't.
It looks like it, at least from a layperson's. It looks like they were all built in the same time. My concern would be that, changing, there's a slippery slope. You know, changing that, those 5 homes are very unique to downtown Hershey.
Do you think the homes next to the Chipotle are same
like Maria's flower shop? Yeah.
Well, no, on the right of, you have homes going past and then regular homes.
These 5 are very unique. I think they're very unique to the downtown. They all look similar. I think they look really unique and special. Okay. That's just my opinion.
Right. I appreciate that.
Jeff, is this intended more as a takeout or a dine-in with that seating arrangement?
They do a lot of like DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub. A lot of the restaurants do a lot of that now. There's a lot of to-go involved. So I don't know if you folks know this, but there is a Tiki Shack in Mechanicsburg. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a little larger. There's about 7 or 8 of the Tiki Shacks as of right now, and some being built as we speak. But the majority is a takeout business. People coming and going, not really staying. I don't know how that will portray with the visitors from the park, but I hope it does well.
So, Chuck, I have a question. I have a couple questions. When were the restrictions that exist right now,
that Mr. Luttrell has been, you know, is trying to work around here. When did they become part of ordinance?
So starting in 1993 is when we began with design restrictions. I believe there still was a preference back then to adaptively reuse existing buildings. I don't think that's changed. In 2017, we did kind of revamp the downtown regulations, and again then in 2019 we highly illustrated, as part of a comprehensive plan amendment, we highly illustrated what we'd like to see in the downtown. But the core requirements, you know, go back to...
So the specific sentence, Chuck, when did that actually go into the ordinance for demolition, that specific one?
At least 2017, possibly before then.
So right around 5 years ago.
So I guess my question then, Chuck, is that if you were, I assume, part of that process in 2017, 2019.
Yes.
So if you wanted to change those restrictions, the board, with your direction, could have changed those directions.
Sometimes I take direction from the board. Sometimes I offer recommendations. But yes.
But I mean, I guess my question is, they began, according to you, in the early 90s, this process. And it sounds like there was an opportunity to address not just these restrictions, but restrictions across the township as zoning was being reviewed on a township-wide level. But these stayed in place.
This is the 471st application to the design board from 1993. We've kept the numbering the same. During that time, there were three appeals to the design board's determination, including this one. The one before this one was the Bears Creek, the Template Suites, and the one prior to that was the billboard in front of Nardo's building up across from CVS, if you remember. So over 471 applications, it seems that the design board and the board of supervisors have come to terms on most of the applications. I think that's a pretty good track record for, I'd almost say, the success of what was done.
And the criteria, would you just repeat that you had the three criteria?
Sure. One is that that the applicant shows that the building can't be repurposed because of structural defects. So, by verbatim from the ordinance, that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse, and as a result, the demolition of the existing building is in the best interest of public safety and welfare. The applicant shall provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate structural disrepair. The second condition is that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses will be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure and construction of a new building. And the third is that the safety of vehicular and pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable with construction of a new building. So the design board noted during that process that they were not opposed to the design of this building. They didn't feel that it fit this block. They felt that it more appropriately fit the design of the Iron Hill and so on. So, you know, as with any design standard, it becomes partially subjective to the design, but I think the structural integrity of the building is less subjective.
So does the structural disrepair, is that specific to the particular use or for any use?
For any repurposing. You know, again,
I guess so. It's sort of like amplifying Mrs. Nutt's question or point, which is, I have no doubt that there are things that are not up to code in that house. Because of its age, there are probably lots of houses in that area where they're not up to current code. they're still, but that doesn't mean they're in a state of disrepair.
Right.
And
right.
They don't have to be in the state of disrepair to accommodate a restaurant. I think what you're saying is the standard is generally the state of disrepair.
Yes.
Not specifically to a restaurant. Because they're clearly, some of the requirements they will need if they were to turn that into a restaurant are things that that particular house or structure can't accommodate, correct?
Can't. I don't know that I'd say it can accommodate. I'd say it'd be difficult to use for that purpose.
But the standard isn't specific to the restaurant or any restaurant. The standard is specific generally.
What the ordinance looks for is adaptive reuse of existing buildings, principally.
And so in theory, if we're asked to interpret, if we have to interpret some of the information and interpret it in such a way that it meets these requirements, I guess my concern is that therefore all of the homes in that area would have the same benefit of that interpretation. And in essence, that entire zoning, those entire zoning requirements really, in essence, would be meaningless.
Start to lose their integrity, yes.
Could I interject for just one moment? And thank you. So, number A, the structural integrity, which is obviously because we are meeting the aesthetics and we actually are increasing the safety of the site by creating a handicap through a sidewalk from the sidewalk. And we're actually, aren't we creating better steps up to the front as well?
We are proposing a lower finish.
Proposing a lower
elevation to allow for greater accessibility.
Yeah, the whole accessibility of the building will be much better. But I just find this so vague, letter A. I'm sure it was kept vague for a reason, to be quite honest with you. But I have found that if you have enough money, any building can be repaired.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's exactly accurate. And I don't think it's that vague. If you look at A, that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse, and as a result of demolition of the existing building is in the best interest of the public safety and welfare. I mean, that fits certain properties in any municipality. Does it fit this property? I have a couple of questions. And one is
don't you think that if you have enough money, any building can be repaired? Unless it's termite ridden, and even then.
I'm not an engineer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's the interpretation of the law.
Exactly.
So it's still up to the human thought process.
The question I have is in the packet, I guess, from the BCB. Application. There's a July 8, 2022 letter from WBCM.
Yes.
It's a one-page letter. It looks like, is there anything else in addition to that the applicant is presenting to this board to consider with respect to addressing whether or not the existing structure is something that falls under that section 1A?
So the intention was there are two items there, as I see it. There's structural disrepair, and then there's structural integrity. I tried to speak to the structural integrity earlier relative to the proposed use of the building. And I feel like the structural integrity of the building is not conducive to the proposed use. So, and then the structural disrepair, I think it is very challenging to address that, and I agree. I don't think we're here to argue with that necessarily. What we're questioning is, it seems somewhat ambiguous because there are several projects which have occurred within the downtown, the 09 district, which have been demolished over the years. And I wasn't here to hear the arguments as put forth, whether they're residents down on across from the chocolate factory, the old chocolate factory, there are a variety of, and I don't know, I wasn't part of that. But I do feel that, as Supervisor Nutt indicated, these are unique structures. And if that's the intention of the code, we're just asking that be explicit in the code, because the structural integrity, I do believe, is very challenging, it's very vague, and it protects a whole variety of things. And I'm not clear, and I don't want to pick on any structure downtown. I used to work at Hardee's, so I think this realignment is great because I remember wintertime sitting there watching cars go down an icy road. So that's really the question, you know, what happened to Hardee's? I don't think it was a structural disrepair. It was a well-built
building. And I think that's the challenge that
we're seeing, that's what we're asking.
Because it's clear that over the years there has been a desire to maintain the structures in a certain stretch of Chocolate Avenue to sort of maintain that the downtown feel that they've always had. And so you've seen so many businesses convert those homes into offices and other kinds of structures, and they kept the structural aesthetics of those homes. And I guess that was why I was asking, that was to my point about, you know, the board has had it. I think the points you make are, you know, we see across the street, you know, that Restaurant Row area, and that does look very different. And I also, most of us were also not on the board when all of that got approved to hear what the arguments were to support that, but it does seem like in this stretch here, the boards over the last 5 to 6 years or 8 years have had opportunities to change that language, to open that language up, and they haven't. And so I think we're just trying to make sure we understand how much latitude we have in interpreting your argument. Your goal is an admirable goal. It'd be nice to have a restaurant like that somewhere downtown. The question is, the challenge for us is in that particular structure, not the concept generally. And that's, I would hope you guys understand that.
Absolutely.
What we're seeing looks very good, but maybe at that location we're struggling with, is our decision supportable by the actual restrictions in the ordinance? So that's why we're asking these different questions.
Greatly appreciate it because it's helping us as well. I did bring along, not super long, but Mr. Supervisor Zamuda asked the last time about the diligence. You know, they have worked for 2+ years now, or just about 2 years, in identifying viable floor plans to support their proposed restaurant. Here are 10 of them, and I'm glad we share these. You know, they're different configurations. We looked at the basement, trying to reuse that, reuse the second floor, reuse the first floor, repurpose a variety of things. We just couldn't come up with a suitable model. And Supervisor Smoot is correct. You know, that just means we haven't come up with a suitable model. But I'm not sure what effort we're supposed to go to try to establish that. And
I don't want to, because I was hogging the microphone. Does anybody else have questions that they'd like to ask while we have the applicant here? And if not, do you have any? Yes, absolutely.
The Tikka Shack, is that similar to the Chipotle in terms of like fast casual, like where people are coming?
It's not like Chipotle, but it's more like Fun Rock. Where you place your order, you have seen people deliver the food.
Okay. So more people come in flowing through there than like a sit-down restaurant?
Yes.
Okay. And there's definitely, the parking is not an issue.
Not. Yeah.
And just in terms of, I'm thinking about the parking lot, and I'm thinking about the alley, because the access of the parking lot is the alley, and so one of the issues is public safety that we have to be concerned about. We were concerned about it when the Chipotle was built.
Sure.
We had lots of meetings and hearings about that. And they were all legitimate points raised, and so I raise it again here. This use will, I would imagine, will generate more vehicle traffic in and out of the parking lot through the alley.
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you. I drive past that building all the time, and it's always, the parking lot's always full. It's not our cars. It's not the tenants that are there, which we're trying to get under control. So that parking lot is being used in some way, shape, or form now with a lot of cars going in and out of it.
Well, there's a difference. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but the difference would be in your restaurant, right, you're going to have some peak service times.
Sure.
Right? There's some different times of day. And so I'm just thinking through what that's going to do in that at that end of the alley and whether or not, you know, does it create a problem right there at that, because it's right there at the mouth of that alley. But
And that's something we can consider.
We can address that and figure out a better way to manage that if we have to do.
So if I can just point out, in the grant of the easement, the owner was to permit public parking on the subject premises and spaces that are within the area of the township to be leased. So
after normal business, after the normal business,
after the normal business,
that's after, yeah. So
I could see where there's this random is, vehicles.
It's always packed. Most of the time, which is fine. Defense rests, Your Honor.
You're proposing to continue to use the parking spaces on the township property as part of the application?
Yes.
And again, you haven't, other than the July 8, 2022 letter, there's nothing else that's been submitted for the board to consider with respect to whether or not...
That is correct, yes.
Do you have any other questions, Matt?
No, not this time with the board.
I was just going to ask, since you have rested. There's really two options. So we could. There was a time limit, I think a 20-day limit, that by which we have to make a decision. I guess we could make one tonight. Or you could agree, we'd essentially ask you, there's a lot for us to continue to take in.
I agree.
Okay. Maybe we do a 30-day...
Whatever you need.
That's cool.
So what I have is a form waiver of procedural time requirements. If you can fill it out.
Sure.
It's a date certain, so if we put a date in there, I would suggest the end of September, so it gets you through your two meetings in September.
Whatever the Mr. Roth and you were agreeable to.
And what would that do is that would give this board the opportunity to digest, consider what you presented this evening, look at what you've already submitted before actually making a determination.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Do you want to ask if, I see there are, is there anyone here in the public that has anything?
We can certainly ask. I wasn't going to be in the so I'm good with that. Is there anybody that would like to come to the podium on this particular issue and are they placing a comment in the record or are they asking the applicant questions?
Not asking questions, but they have comments on
it. Yeah. Would you just, Mr. Gamble, come to the microphone like you normally would and just introduce yourself? And again, we'll ask people if you have a comment and kind of limit it to around 3 minutes, but try to show some discretion.
Hi, Rich Campbell, 39 Hopkinsville Road, Hershey, PA. The comment I'd like to make is that when the client bought the building, they understood what they were buying. Very similar in aeronautics. If I know I'm going to land Piper Cubs, I'm going to buy a Piper Cub runway. Not with the intention of trying to land B-52s on it. And it shouldn't be the responsibility of this board to change the rules so they can do what they wanted to do. You know, the hardship was created by them. They knew what they were buying. And like I said, all the way on that side of the street, all the way starting at, starting back at the old Catholic Church, all the way down. Those buildings have been reused the way they exist. And you take a look at that, what's on the board here, that thing stands out like a sore thumb. You know, when they did the other side of the street, I don't know what they were thinking about, but yeah, there was a Sunoco station there, and they had the old gas station, and they had a car store, and they had homes. Eddie Roy's Clark had his home, Dennis' offices in those buildings. So it can be done. It's just how they want to do it, what they want to do. There's other areas. If they want to put a restaurant, there's other areas. Go further down the road. East Chicago. Nothing says it has to be on that corner. But I really think that you bought what you got and don't expect the township to absorb the difference because you weren't using your head when you bought something. And again, we're looking at trying to maintain some aspect of the downtown the way it was because people come to see the downtown, not to see. Like I say, take a look at all the buildings that were torn down prior to the ordinances were made. I mean, we talk about the team building. We talk about the post office building, the Cocoa Wing. All that stuff's gone. When say about Hershey, in the sweetest town on earth, it's gone. So what we have left, we want to try to preserve and keep it here. And like I said, that thing with the floors, reinforce the floors. Keep the building the way it looks, like everybody else on that street did. So why should we change the rules for one? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Is there anyone else on this item? Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Madrell. Thank you, Mr. Roth.
Thank you very much for your time and your consideration. I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you. Jeff, I'm bad. I wanted to let you guys know that I did not lobby these guys at all. I said nothing to them. I made a point not to talk to them much. I wanted to stay away, so you guys had a fair chance.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Have a nice evening. So, just quickly, is this closing of this procedure, continuance, or?
Yeah, the presentation of the appeal is closed. The decision of the Board of Supervisors has been, they granted an extension for that decision until September 30, 2022. So just one of the September board meetings, this will probably be appealed.
Just for clarity's sake, thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you very
much. Thank you
much.
So much, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, thank you, everyone. Moving along on the agenda is item B. It's the consideration of resolution 2022-16 and an agreement between Dauphin County, the Derry Township Tax Collector, and the Township of Derry for the purpose of transferring real estate tax and streetlight assessment collection services to Dauphin County. Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, at your July 12th meeting, Dauphin County Treasurer Janice Creason and her deputy Vince Peace were here to detail how Dauphin County could take over collection of both real estate taxes and the streetlight assessment for Derry Township. The tax collector, Lou Paletti, was also at that meeting on July 12th. He's here this evening. If he has any questions or comments that he would like to offer for the board. At this point tonight, you've heard that presentation at that meeting, and the board asked for us to move forward with preparing the agreement that's part of your packet this evening. In conjunction with that, it's a two-part consideration for you this evening. Is resolution 2022-16, which would, in essence, transfer the service, and then the board would take a separate action to approve the agreement itself. I don't have any additional details to offer tonight beyond what was already stated back in July. But certainly, if you have questions, I'm happy to answer those tonight.
Any board members have questions or, at this point, questions for Mr. Chrisman on this agenda?
I have an earlier question about the school district, but that was resolved earlier today, so I'm good.
It's my understanding that the district met last evening and they had a similar presentation that as Mrs. Creason was here back in July. They had that same presentation last evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Paletti is present in the room. Mr. Paletti, is there anything you want to share with the board before we move forward with this item?
Nope. Nothing that I haven't shared already.
All right.
Mr. Paletti, have you reviewed the agreement?
Oh, in extreme detail, yes.
And you're agreeable to it?
Well, as the elected official who has an obligation to have the taxes collected, regardless of who collects them, I have a very big interest in this, and I'm personally liable for the collection of the taxes. That was my big concern. And I wasn't going to speak tonight, but I will speak just briefly. My position has been the same. For the past 17 years, I've always said from day one, let me go there. I've always said from day one, for 17 years, even when people questioned whether we should have an office here or not, and I've gotten numerous questions on it, my position has always been that, there are, seven, eight different taxes collected here. Two of them are combined into one, the county and the township. But I said that my position has always been, if this operation exists, I would continue to use this operation as my contractor. And as I reiterated, even when the son called me after the last meeting, I said, I think, you know, this operation has done over the years, for many, many years, a great job, but it's also not my office. And I also said all these years, and I need to be consistent, that for as much as I appreciate the work that is done in this office, and as much as it also does hurt me, and it does probably hurt a lot of people, of, you know, what the end result would be to people who may not have their jobs anymore, I also believe that it's my obligation to stay neutral on the issue, because it's not my tax office, and it's not my money to spend. It's the school's money and the township's money. My obligation starts and ends with making sure that if I don't collect the taxes myself, and I have every right to collect them myself starting tomorrow out of my house, I'm not going to do that. I have a full-time job. I have to choose a deputy tax collector who will safely and efficiently and adequately collect the taxes. So that's a long story. But I read every single millimeter of that document. I had some questions, mainly based on my liability. That's where we are. So that's a long way to say yes, but I think I also, since you asked, needed to explain.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure you're part of the agreement. I want to make sure that you've seen it, you've reviewed it, and you're agree with the terms.
Yeah. Okay. I read
that's
it
all I was
from
asking.
My aspect, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, then, is there, at this point, unless there are any questions on the item, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors approves Resolution 2022-16, a resolution authorizing and designating Dauphin County and the County Treasurer to act as the collector, depository, and agent for the collection of real estate taxes for the Township of Derry, the Derry Township Tax Collector, and Dauphin County, and further authorizing and designating Dauphin County and the County Treasurer to act as the collector, depository, and agent for the collection of streetlight assessment within Derry Township.
Right. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there any discussion or questions?
I just have a comment to make. And this is nothing, we just want to be very clear that it's not any of the actions of the tax association. Everyone there has done an amazing job. But we're looking out, as Lou mentioned, the school district and the township's money. It's actually the taxpayers' money. And so we've looked to do moves like this for the last couple of years in a way to make sure that we are using the funds that we are getting from our taxpayers in the most efficient and effective way possible. And Janice Greason came in here and gave an amazing presentation. She does a great job. And it's just another way for us to streamline our services, making sure that our residents get great service at the most in the most efficient and cost-effective way possible.
I just would I echo that. I won't repeat it all, but I will say, not a reflection of the work the tax association professionals have done for many years here. In fact, I understand. I was one of the people who always appreciated having the tax office here in Derry Township, and I like interacting with the people in the tax office. They're very kind and very helpful. Over the years, the Dauphin County tax office, quite frankly, has come a long way, and it wouldn't have been capable of handling this responsibility 20 years ago. And so the tax association for many years here in the township has done an excellent job. We have gotten to a point, for whatever reasons, that maybe it's Janice Greason herself, but since Janice has been in that office, she has modernized it. It now has the capability to do tax collection in a lot of different ways. It's hard to overlook the fact that the county can provide this service for the township residents at such a low cost to township residents. And is it going to be exactly the same? Well, it's never going to be exactly the same, because the personal touch that you, the ladies in this room, brought to that tax collection was very special. We're going to try to make sure that for some period of time the county will collect taxes here. Maybe it's a day a week, but
but we'll try to replicate some of what you did in this community for many years and did very well. But it's not an easy decision, and I certainly wouldn't want you to walk out of here tonight, anybody to walk out of here tonight, not knowing that the board highly respects the work of the folks that have been doing this for all these years. And so in some ways it's a little bit sad, but in other ways it's going to be a new beginning, and we're going to walk down that path together and do the best we can for the township residents. So that's all I have. Does anybody else have anything else before we take a vote?
Yeah. I've worked with these guys for a while now, and they're a great group. But as you two said, it's we're fiduciarily responsible for the taxpayer money. This is a way to help mitigate some of the spending.
All right. With that, then, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We'll need a second motion, as Mr. Christman had indicated.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the agreement between the Township of Derry, the Township of Derry Tax Collector, and the Dauphin County to deputize the Dauphin County Treasurer's Office to collect all real estate taxes and streetlight assessments for the Township of Derry effective January 1st, 2023.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item then will be item C, which is the request to authorize the specification and purchase of new fire apparatus, the replacement of engine 48-1. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you see, we have members of the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company present this evening. They have done a tremendous amount of work on getting us to this point for consideration of a replacement vehicle for engine 48-1. Just to make sure I'm saying that right. And tonight, if the board deems it appropriate to take action and allow us to move forward with the replacement of that engine, this would go out as a specification to Pierce Manufacturing. There's a 25-month lead time here. So in order for us to get this engine in production, to be put into service, and then to additionally be able to take advantage of the local share grant opportunity that we're discussing as the next item on this agenda, we need to take action tonight. Dauphin County won't support the project if there isn't a truck to fund. We can't fund a truck unless the Board of Supervisors authorizes us to spend the money to build a truck. That's the easiest way I can describe it. So that is the action that's before you tonight. There's a lot of information that's in your packet that I kind of some of the background information. I know the folks that know this truck inside and out are here, that if you have really direct questions about the apparatus, they can answer that. In terms of financing, we've had some discussions with our financial advisor, Raymond James, and we would recommend to the board probably early next year that we look to seek a line of credit for the township, something that a vehicle that's been used in the past to finance purchases like this. It would give us the flexibility, depending upon what that amount is, to draw down the amount of money that would be necessary to finance this purchase. Presumably, as we go through successive local share grant application periods, any monies that would be garnered through the county would be automatically dedicated to the debt service reduction for this line of credit. So it's a flexible financing vehicle for us. I would make that recommendation. That would happen probably in April of next year. We would line that up to get into July. We have to go out for a request for proposals to look for a line of credit from different banks, what they would offer in terms of financing rates. Additionally, if you would approve this tonight, that order goes into Pierce 1 year from the date of, hypothetically, today. We would see a bill from Pierce to pay that upfront. So my recommendation is to go with the upfront cost for the entire apparatus because we get a discounted price so that that's where that line of credit becomes important. So we're not seeking financing directly from Pierce. We're looking to do that on our own through our letter of credit or line of credit. And at this point, 25 months from now, pending tonight's action, we'll have a new engine to replace the current engine 481. We would sell that apparatus, and any money that comes in from that sale, much like the ladder truck, would be applied to the debt service for this vehicle as well. I'm saying that already. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them. You know, Rodney is here. You can probably talk more about it in depth than anybody else that I know of.
Yeah, anybody have any questions? I don't. Mr. Sonderman, Deputy Chief Sonderman, gave us a presentation last month. It was a very good presentation. We asked lots of questions. We had lots of good answers. And so I think we're probably ready to move forward. Anybody with any questions on the apparatus or on this item?
I would just say if this is how we show our thanks, then this is how we do it. Because I say thanks all the time, and I don't know if we really show it. You guys are so important. Thank you so much. So I'll make a motion.
Go right ahead.
That the Board of Supervisors approve and authorize the specification and purchase of a new fire apparatus to replace the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company engine 48-1.
Right. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. All right. Thank you, Mr. Christman. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Moving to item D on the agenda, it's the approval of resolution 2022-15. It's authorizing the sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 2022-2023 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. Mr. Christman.
Mr. Chairman, before I go into this, there's one point I wanted to make under our last item, and I apologize. Mr. Sassaman shared with us the ISO rating for the township. And that's all required. I know these guys are tripped out. They have things to do. But in large part, that ISO rating is so important because it reflects the service and commitment that the fire department has for this community. Our rating is a 3 and a 3X. You know, I think it's more in there.
It's a 3 now.
3.
Yes. It was a 4.
The good news is it went down. So when you go down, it's a good thing. It's not going
right.
The other way. So as it gets lower, the number gets lower. It affects our insurance values in a positive way. And that's to the dedication of this group that's here. And Mr. Wyckoff just mentioned it, saying thank you. That's another great plug for our department. They stand the heads above the rest around the county, around the state, in some cases around the country, based on the statistics that ISO runs every few years. So it's a great acknowledgement to them. I just want to thank you for all the hard work going through that certification and renewing our commitment to continue to keep our ISO rating low. So thank you.
Dave, just so that we know, I mean, in terms of the factors that are examined to determine the ISO rating, can you just speak to what those factors are so we have an idea? Is it call time? Is it number of calls? What are they examining?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to defer that to Mr. Sonderman because he is the mastermind behind that, and I'm very proud that he can be here and speak to that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
For that.
Hi, good evening. The ISO is the Insurance Services Office, which is a third-party inspection group that services the insurance industry. Not every insurance company uses that as their primary indicator, but a lot of them do refer to it. So we've gone from a 4 down to a 3. We improved by about 10% or so. And most of that's through documentation. So the areas specifically to your question, the 911 center, how quickly do they answer calls? Do they have backup systems? What happens, you know, when the disaster happens? Are we still going to get 911 calls to come in? And can they dispatch to the fire company? The water company. So the number of fire hydrants, how much water flows through them, how often they're inspected, all of those things. We work closely with American Water in order to get the credit for that. And then we evaluate the fire department. So it has to do with the fire station and the location, response times, the number of vehicles, the number of people that show up. And then you get into training, who's got certificates and degrees. How many times do we talk to the public? Do we have a public information officer that's giving out good information to folks? Then the amount of training that we do, how often do we leave the township and go to other areas? What are they responding? And they even get down to the details of how much fire hose is on each vehicle. So we've done a great job over the years. The documentation is always the part that gets you. And so we created a thumb drive answering every single question. There's thousands of questions in there, being able to answer that. So we're very proud of that. To get a lower score probably would mean that we would have to start staffing full-time. So as a volunteer organization, of the 3,000 municipalities in the state of Pennsylvania, 160 are a level 3. 5 are a level 1. And so it's very, very difficult to get to that next area. We'll continue to keep things going and keep that upgraded. So to the public or to anyone that owns a business or a home here is to check with your insurance provider and see if they use the ISO as a rating, what that would mean. Like everybody's policy is different, what they're covering, but in general, the residents probably won't see a big portion, maybe a couple of dollars, but a commercial business could potentially see 10%+ savings on their insurance.
Yeah, that's, and I was going to ask you to tie that together because that is true about the homeowners insurances,
yes.
Right? Some do look at that, and there's an opportunity for folks to save money. It's why it's important that the township help fund the volunteer fire department when it comes to apparatus and other equipment type things, because you deliver the volunteers and you make sure they're properly trained and that they're executing their mission safely. And on the other hand, we need to make sure you guys have the right equipment, you men and women have the right equipment to do what you need to do safely in the township. And so sort of underscores the last item on the agenda that we have. We make difficult decisions all the time, but these are the choices that we're confronted with up here on this board. And so there's no regret on our part to being able to do this for the fire department, but it's we have to make tough choices. So, but you guys make this generally a pretty easy choice.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Dave, can the deputy chief sit down?
Absolutely.
All right, then, Mr. Crispin, I think then we'll go back to you on item D.
Yes, thank you. Before the board this evening is resolution 2022-15, and this would be authorizing the sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 2022-2023 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. At your July 26th meeting, as you're aware, we had presentations from a variety of different groups looking for sponsorship to make application to the county for the available pool of funds that could potentially fund any one of those projects. So in your packet tonight is the basic resolution that ranks them in order from 1 to 9. I'm recommending the following. At number 1, Hershey Volunteer Fire Company Engine 481 replacement project at $150,000. Position number 2, the Township Dairy, our total would be $363,458, and that would include the Police Department's Interactive Training Simulator with a total cost of $56,458, the Police Department's Civil Disobedience Equipment Replacement Project at $60,000, and 2 Public Works Trucks, F-550s with plows and spreaders at $247,000. Our third-ranked project would be the Downtown Hershey Association's Audio Upgrade Tent Project, $23,000. Fourth, the Vista School for their ADA Safety Replacement Project at $31,564. In fifth place, the Hershey History Center, their Energy Savings Infrastructure Upgrade Project, $50,000. Sixth, Mary's Training Center for an underwater treadmill at $120,000. 7, Hidden Still,
for the construction of Cigar and Bourbon Tasting Lounge, event space and development, distillery tour and distillation educational programs at $75,000. 8 Linlow Properties for the Governor's Crossing Project of $125,000. And number 9, the Hershey Partnership for website and publication improvements of $55,000. If there are any questions, I'm happy to entertain that.
I would just recommend, in the event the board is going to entertain a motion for the resolution this evening, I would just make a recommendation for the one slight addition specific to number 8, the rural properties, just maybe specific to the proposed traffic improvements for the project and conditional upon them securing the requisite zoning for the township as well.
So is that when we do the motion, I don't, the motion probably doesn't spell out specifically each one of those, so there's a resolution, it would be the resolution which would have to be
the resolution would be, the motion would be, if the board's in a position to act on the resolution this evening, it would be, if you were okay with that condition, it would be conditional upon the resolution being revised to that extent. Okay. Adding that condition and clarification to that project.
And would you want to comment on Cocoa Pack's request?
Just a note to the board that following our meeting on July 26th, Cocoa Pack's representatives also met with Dauphin County representatives, and they are seeking sponsorship countywide. So they're part of a different pool of applicants now because their project has grown so large and they've touched so many families throughout Dauphin County. That'll be taken up directly by
Pat, regarding that condition, that's just because there currently isn't an approved project.
Correct.
So we would be endorsing a project that is not...
That does not currently exist, and they still need relief from the township with respect to that project.
Got it.
It would just be conditional.
Any questions about the proposed ordering of the sponsorships? And if not, we can take a motion.
Okay, I guess I'll make the motion that the board approves Resolution 2022-15, authorizing the sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 2022-2023 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program.
With the condition that...
Condition.
Number 8.
With the condition that the number 8 project be... conditional upon securing the requisite zoning to be
right. Motion was made by Mr. Zaluda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or comments? I have one. And I have certainly all members of the board asked, this is not to fill in any gaps I leave moving forward. This is going to go back in time and forward in time. In the past, we've always gotten very good requests. All the projects that come before this board over the last, I don't know, 15 years, always good applicants, always good projects. The question is whether or not they're appropriate uses of the funds, these gaming funds. And those are sometimes tough decisions to make for the board. But the boards historically have used these funds, not just in Derry Township, but across the county, for sort of public projects, whether it was police or fire apparatus or needs, public works needs. These funds then provide a direct benefit to the taxpayers in that community. Because but for these funds, the taxpayers would be paying for these things, they'd be absorbing these costs. So the boards have historically, and I can go back 2008, 2009, 2010 time frame, Chief, we bought several pieces of apparatus back then, and we used exclusively gaming funds over a period of years to pay for them. So we've always been very upfront about that as a board, as a township, even though lots of us have everybody's come and gone at different times. Sort of that's been the informal policy. Moving this year, we struggled a little bit, but we thought we'd give people some guidance before we take a vote here. Moving forward, applicants should know we will welcome applicants. there's criteria the county has drafted that applicants can use to determine if their projects meet one of the buckets of available funds. Public projects like police, fire, and public works will always take sort of the primary focus. They'll take be given primary priority, if you will, from this board moving forward. And the reason we want to tell people this is because we don't want people to put in applications and feel really disappointed when they don't get money for good projects. And we heard from lots of really good applicants about a month ago. But we really have to focus this money. We're trying to be disciplined about it, trying to be good stewards of these dollars. And so the primary priority will be for these public type of projects that directly benefit the taxpayers. Secondly, we will then, the second sort of tier will be sort of the nonprofit organizations in the community who are providing services or some value to the community at large and have needs for some funding so that they can continue their mission in the community. They're not the profit, and so the second tier will generally be those kinds of projects. Again, we're not going to look for a direct, necessarily, benefit to the taxpayer, but maybe in that instance, more of an indirect benefit. And then lastly, we'll consider for sponsorship the for-profit applications. But for folks that are purely for-profit applicants, even though their projects are very good and very well thought out and well presented, those projects won't be sponsored unless those applicants can show that they have this direct or indirect benefit to taxpayers. And so, you know, we're looking at it so really through that lens. And so if the project is one that helps the for-profit business but doesn't really benefit the taxpayers, it's very hard for us to divert dollars to those projects. These are public dollars. So I'm just never going to say, you know, we don't want to put a blanket statement out there saying yes or no to anything, but that's sort of the tier moving forward. And moving forward, when applicants call into the township, whether they, depending on, doesn't matter which department head they speak to, whether it's or Mr. Chrisman, that we're going to share that information with applicants so they know going in. We hate to have people walk away disappointed from these kinds of decisions, but we are really committed to the taxpayers. So, is there anything anybody wants to add to that? I didn't want to miss anything, but I hope that I stated sort of the general consensus of the board. Okay. If there's nothing else at this time, we'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion.
You have a first and second.
Well, the motion was made, so we're going to take a vote on the motion. But I appreciate how eager Mr. Corrado is to offer motions. So at this time, all in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you to all the presenters, all the applicants. We thank them for the time they put into the presentations. And we wish everybody luck. All right, that'll take us to number E on the agenda, which is the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for the West Hershey plant building expansion. It's plat 1355, and I'll defer to Mr. Kamark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one moment to get it. The page I'm looking for, the parcel on which the Hershey West plant is located is across the street. This project will disturb less than 4 acres of the 202 acres that comprise that property. The property is within our industrial zoning district with some street frontage areas containing the Hershey Park overlay. So the focus of this land development plan is the construction of a 23,000 square foot addition to the existing West Hershey plant facility. It's shown here in the plan. This is to the backside of the facility, if you will. And the installation or extension of the existing bike path along Old West Chocolate Avenue. The project will have a nominal impact on traffic in the area. The can indicate in their narrative that 10 additional employees per shift are what will result from this project. Stormwater management for the additional for the addition to the building will be handled on site by an existing basin. Stormwater management for the bike path will be handled by it being installed with porous pavement and a subsurface infiltration system. Waivers and permits are sought at this plan. There's a waiver for plan scale to, in essence, to show the entire site on one sheet like that. And while I'm here, this is the general area of the addition. There is a waiver from providing meets and bounds for existing street center lines, a waiver for providing water courses, rock outcrops, and those types of facilities within 200 feet or 50 feet of the property, a waiver from providing profiles of existing stormwater sewers, sanitary sewers, gas and water mains. In each case, the Planning Commission and staff are recommending that those waivers be granted. There are two deferments associated with this plan. One is for installing curbing along Hirsch Park Drive and Old West Chocolate Avenue, and the other is regarding sidewalks, walkways, or bicycle paths along Hirsch Park Drive. The applicant is, again, proposing a bicycle or shared-use path along Old West Chocolate, which is a considerable improvement on their frontage. It spans two sheets of the drawing. In each case, we're recommending that the deferment be granted, subject to the applicant entering into our standard agreement for deferment of the improvements. The applicant seeking a waiver from providing shade trees along Hirsch Park Drive and West Chocolate Avenue. Planning Commission and staff are in favor of granting that waiver. I'm recommending approval of 51355, conditioned upon the following items being satisfactorily addressed. Number one, that the applicant shall reimburse the township for all costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than October 6th, and continue to, if there are additional bills, pay those bills. That the following items happen by February 23rd of 2023, that they provide financial security to guarantee the completion of the proposed improvements, that they provide a copy of the proposed pedestrian easement for review, that the applicant revise the numbering for the lighting plan sheet in the index of the drawings, that the applicant comply with and or otherwise satisfy the comments of the township engineer's review letter dated August 2nd, 2022, as may be amended to account for a recent response from Grove Miller Engineering related to traffic. That the applicant satisfy or address the comments from the DTMA letter dated August 17, 2022, that the applicant comply with or otherwise satisfy comment 3 in the Dauphin County Planning Commission review report dated May 24, 2022, that the applicant provide the completed MS4 post-construction stormwater BMP inventory file in an Excel file format, that the applicant provide the CD of the final plan in AutoCAD format, that the applicant provide two originals of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement, that the applicant agree to, execute, and have notarized two originals of the declaration of covenants for the deferred improvements for the sidewalk, walkway, or bicycle path, and for the curbs along Hirsch Park Drive and West Chocolate Avenue, that the applicant provide two copies of the stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement, and finally, for the February 23rd, 2023 date, that the applicant shall agree to and execute the stormwater operation and maintenance and access agreement. And then the final conditions of approval is that the applicant shall comply with all outside agency requirements. The applicant shall record the development and financial security agreement, the declaration of covenants for deferred improvements, and the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement, as well as the declaration referencing the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement, all concurrently with the plan. I'm also recommending that the waivers and deferments be granted as outlined in the explanation section of this agenda item, and the applicants are here if there are any questions.
All right.
questions on this item from Mr. Adler? Hearing none, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the waivers and deferments are granted from the subdivision and land development ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for West Hershey Plant Building Expansion Plat 1355.
All right. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any questions? Discussion? If not, all those in favor, please do so by signifying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. There's a companion motion to this as well.
I'll make the second motion that the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for West Hershey Plant Building Expansion Plat 1355 is approved, subject to compliance with items 1 through 18 in the Assistant Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Dutt. Motion made by Mrs. Dutt. Is there a second?
I'll second again.
Seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That'll take us to item F, which is the acceptance of bids and an award of sale of township surplus items and equipment.
I can take this one.
Chief Warner.
From August 2nd to August 16th, 2022, the township accepted bids through an online bidding system, Unisabid, for the sale of items of equipment that the township wishes to dispose of. Enclosed is a list showing the items advertised for sale and the highest bid for each item. The items being bid out were 12 L3 Mobile Vision recording devices that were surplus decommissioned devices out of our police cars that were replaced with other systems. The highest bidder was Samuel Medway with the Young Aviators Foundation, and that bid was $450 for the surplus equipment.
Right. Any questions for the chief on this item? Hearing none. Well, not hearing none, but hearing no questions for the chief, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the vote is
in. There was a tie. Who's making the motion?
No, Parada.
All right.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve and authorize the disposition of surplus equipment to the highest bidders as noted in the Police Department Memorandum dated August 19, 2022.
Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
Second.
Our motion seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any further discussion or any discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Just for the record, Mr. Carlin, and you can only vote once. So we'll move to item G on the agenda, which is the acceptance of the financial security for the stormwater management plan for 1068 Fairdale Drive, S-2022-018. Mr. Elmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This PMP was for a swimming pool and patio at 1068 Fairdale Drive. The applicant property owners are Anthony Tyree and Angela Bontempo. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant engineer and recommended the financial security in the amount of $20,027 is to be provided. The applicants have provided the security in the form of cash and have entered into this township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee the completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the financial security in the amount of $20,027 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Anthony E. Tyree and Angela Bontempo for the stormwater management plan for 1068 Fairdale Drive, S-2022-18.
Very Very good. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. It's fairly routine sort of housekeeping matter. So is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $20,027 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Anthony E. Tyree and Angela Benatempo for the Stormwater Management Plan for 1068 Fairdale Drive, S-2022-018.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That concludes all the business under new business. The next item is Supervisor Board of Committee Reports. And I'll start with Mr. Zaluda, and we'll kind of work our way down. So, Mr. Zaluda, Supervisor Board of Committee Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a rather lengthy report today. Take maybe 10 seconds. We had a transportation meeting earlier this morning. Ms. Nutt will comment on that one. It's her turn this time. I also want to wish everybody a happy back to school. There's not many people here to say that to, but I want everybody to have a great year. And what I tell my daughter every morning on her way out is have fun, make good decisions, and do good things. And that's all I have.
Good advice, words to live by. All right, we will skip over our motion happy friend. This is that.
As Supervisor Zaluda noted, this morning the two of us sat on the Transportation Committee meeting and discussed a number of issues around the township for everybody. Not a lot of folks here right now, but this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, very big concerts at Hershey Park. Chris Stapleton, Lady Gaga, we discussed doing the same strategies that have been working for all of the big events with the slip lane closure. So we're hopeful. That's actually, Rick brought up a good point and asked that be closed a bit earlier this time. And so that's going to be closed just a bit earlier than it has been for some of the other big concerts. So hopefully that will continue to work as well as it has for
and we will keep that. We will keep that open as an open item to keep exploring other ways.
Yes. In addition, we talked about a number of other issues. Mr. Zaluda, myself, and Mr. Emmerich have been talking about just going through the Greater Hershey Transportation Study and looking at kind of putting it together in a package for residents to kind of know what our priorities are. Also looked at what we've been working on is in terms of pedestrian safety along the Chocolate Avenue corridor. That's always part of our transportation meetings. So it's very important to us to both our residents and our folks that are visiting safe as they're walking around downtown. We also talked about some of the other development projects that might be heading our way. We did talk about the Church Road project. The residents were here to remind us about this earlier this evening. And we've got a couple of trail updates. And in addition, we've been bringing in Sarah from the municipal authority to come in and talk to us about the projects that they're working on and how we can kind of work together if she's opening up streets to do projects for the CTMA. It's an opportunity for all of us to work together and save us, all of our taxpayers, a little bit of money that way. So I think I got everything. Is there anything I missed?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Got it.
That's the only board or committee that has met since the last meeting.
Just one question then. Maybe it was the last meeting. A gentleman, Mr. Black, came and asked about that left-hand arrow at Cocoa and Governor. If you go.
Oh, the lights.
Yeah.
Linden and Bridge, it looks like.
Well,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, left turn on to Governor and Cocoa.
Yeah, that's, we've been in discussion on that for a while now. Where are we with that, Chuck? Do you remember?
I think they did the study.
And there
were
some.
The
oh no!
They were neutral, right?
Yes.
The problem,
and that falls on us now to decide. I guess with the chief and Public Works, if we can do that. But I think it's going to be a loss.
I just my only comment is I'm sure when they're if you're doing studies at a certain time,
maybe it looks wonderful. Honestly, when you drive by there, I see people all the time. If you're trying to make a left at certain times of day, one car will get through there on the left. And that can't be. You can't have one car go left because they just stack up waiting. So I understand his frustration. I think, you know, most of us, if you drive in and understand the frustration, you just have to figure this out.
Well, Chris, I've been an advocate of this for a while now. You guys came on the board. I've been trying to advocate for this. We got the study done. I think we kind of know what we're going to do with this. I think we got to, my opinion, I think we should move forward on it. Somehow we can find the funds to do this. Mr. Christman? Would you care to comment on that?
My pockets are short. You know, certainly that's something we can take a look at, you know, as we go through the budget process. You know, but you know, I'm going to defer to the traffic safety folks because it's a neutral, assessment, right? So, yeah, the tenant would bear all that cost for signal modification. The signal head would have to change, possibly the mast arm. I don't know. You know, that's where the traffic engineer would have to weigh in on that. But we can sort of look at that as part of the budget for 23.
Are the lights synchronized now? Does anyone know?
The lights are synchronized in as much as twice a day they tell each other what time it is.
That's it.
That's it. They are not, what you're referring to is probably traffic responsive or traffic adapted. That they are not.
I remember as a kid, you'd feel like the lights would change with the season. It's like you knew tourist season was over because the light down by the old Kmart was faster. Is that just me being insane, or did we really change them seasonally? We never did that?
The timing changes based on the AM, PM times and through the day. That you'll find the same thing now that they've changed the signal timing to bullfrog. You'll notice there sometimes four cars will get through at various times of the day. At other times of the day, there'll be six or eight make it through on the left turn to go south of Bullfrog.
Is that something you can set, Tom, or is that...
No.
That's just how it is.
No, PennDOT likes me, but...
Oh, it's set by PennDOT.
Yeah.
So it would be set by PennDOT even at code.
Something we can get feedback or make a request if they adjust it?
When it comes to a traffic signal, if and people think it's a very easy thing to do, it's not that easy at the department level. If you want to add 3 seconds to, say, a left turn movement, that 3 seconds, there's a certain amount of time granted in total to the intersection. If you want to add 3 seconds to, say, a left turn arrow, that time has to come from somewhere else in another phase in that intersection.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hear you. I agree with you, but that is I'm sure it's not the only place in the township, but
it doesn't. Bullfrog, Middletown Road, any of them. I wish you could get one light and go, but it doesn't sound like you could do that.
Huh. But this one sounds like it's up to us. We can make that decision on this one. So we need to, Chris, I would just request that you at least take a look at what it would cost to put a left-hand signal there. I don't even know what happens when we have concerts and stuff. I can't imagine that line of traffic must go back. I don't know you can only get one car through on a left-hand turn. Now, if there's no one coming north on Cocoa from like the Giant, I suppose, but and maybe in the evening there are fewer cars coming north on Cocoa. So maybe that's why you don't have big concert problems with it, but just, you know, I've been going to the community center a lot in the morning, and not at like 7 or 8 a.m., but usually 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I notice it there. There's a lot of cars coming north on Cocoa, and people trying to make, it's one car at a time making a left on Governor. And so, I mean, the point Mr. Black makes is a valid one. Maybe it's not the one we can fix, but I think if it's a matter of money, we should think about, can we afford it in next year's budget? And then if it's, you know, our engineer, someone's got to tell us if it, I mean, we can't, I recognize there are liability concerns around adding signals and things like that. But we have to, we need an answer, because what I don't want to have happen is, you know, he's right, that's not the first time. I mean, I think Mr. Black had that same concern the last time.
Well, he's not the only one. There's other people that have talked to me about that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been going on for years, so sure. I mean, I'd like to at least have a final definitive answer.
Well, I think, didn't we talk about using liquid fuels money for this?
Tom Holtz is for strings.
I know, I'm sorry, you're taking your money away.
Depends how much you want to wait to get your snow removed.
All right, well, we'll take it under advisement. Mr. Chrisman, I'd ask you just to keep that discussion going with the right folks.
It's fine. I just want to make sure as we move forward with that discussion that we take a look at the timing in the entire corridor, because any change to left-hand movements on COCO are going to affect everything along Governor. So we have to kind of, you know, that's for an engineer, somebody that has a better mind than I do, to take a look at that. And,
well, we already paid for the traffic study, so that shouldn't that have been a consideration within that study?
Well, you want to do a traffic signal design so that, you know, that when they look at that, that's all of that factors into it. So,
what were the original parameters of that study that we authorized? Do you remember?
See if warrants were met.
Well, wouldn't that have included?
It probably wouldn't include design if it's a warrant study.
Probably not at that level.
It's just trying to assess whether or not the intersection meets the warrants to include a change in the signal.
So we have to do a secondary?
Correct. So we do the signal design, this is where then it gets like a PennDOT permit.
Well, yeah, you would be doing a whole signal permit plan.
Yep.
But we'd have to do the study first to see, and then make the plan. So by the time we're all pushing up bases.
It's probably fair to say that's going to be a bit extensive and require all new poles, because that signal, I believe, is old enough to have four bolt foundations. Now the requirement is six or eight bolts.
Isn't that?
More than likely, yes. So it's probably going to take four new poles to do that. I'll check tomorrow to see how many, see if they are old poles.
So the old ones are four poles?
Yeah, the old four poles have not been the standard here for the last half dozen years, 8 years.
Okay, I can see that.
And it might also require the ADA requirements for the ramps at the intersection.
There are ramps, there are.
But it'll have to be redone when you put in a new signal pole. So it's just the way that works, unfortunately.
Jeez. As well as preemption for emergency vehicles.
Right.
Maybe it's not as easy as I thought, or certainly not as more expensive than I thought.
I thought it was just hang up another ramp turn and move on with our lives.
Okay.
Do we know
this? Keep an eye open.
So that was, I'm sorry, Mrs. Knight, are you done? All right, Mr. Wyckoff.
DTMA met last night. Mr. Perotto and I attended. There were staff updates on various items, including construction contracts, engineering services, meetings with neighboring townships. Sarah Ryan gave an update on stormwater projects. And three resolutions were passed, including project payments. There was a change order on one of the projects, and scope of work for a stormwater fee rate study. And that's it. Mike, unless I missed something.
No, you nailed it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Corrado. Hey, Supervisor of Board Report.
None. Mr. Wyckoff, just handing it. You do not need to report.
Okay. All right. Then I have no Supervisor of Board or Committee report. So that'll take us to our lightning round, starting with the chief, police department. That row there, by the way, is a very fast row. This one is very quick. It
would have been inappropriate to just say pass.
Second.
The chief has yielded his time to Mr. Sassman in the fire department.
Thanks, chief. I just want to thank everybody for tonight, both supports for the grants and the apparatus. I'm sure the guys who were here are very amazed as am I. So thank you all for your support. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sassman. Mr. Clark, Public Works.
I'm feeling a bit talky to elect myself. I can pass on to the board tonight that our landfill job is at completion.
Yay! Congrats!
After quite a long time and many tens of thousands of yards of dirt, we're done, for the exception of about 50 loads that we're going to get next Monday. The seeder's coming next week to seed the remaining half of it, and the equipment's already started going back to the dealership. So anybody like to see it, let me know. I'm more than happy to meet you, take you out, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Does that still need one more inspection?
There is an inspection there next Tuesday.
Is it the final one?
That inspection really has nothing to do with what we're doing out there. It's their quarterly visit. But it's a number of the bureaus within the department, clean water, solid waste, a couple others. They just come walk around and look to make sure that nothing's washing away. They don't really have a lot to do.
Okay, well, when would the inspection be to sign off on their improvement request?
I don't know that there's going to be one. Wow. An engineer, when ARM tells them that we're complete, I'm sure one or two people are going to let me out there and look. But I have no date or person that's going to want to see that.
Interesting.
Most of that's been done via email.
I thought they'd be helping get out there to check it out.
That's all I have.
All right.
Done.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom, can you just follow up, though, on the point Mr. Homer made, that just at Fishburne and Church, whether it's the resident there, I don't know if they have a homeowner association back there, but...
Oh, yeah, I already sent out a note for tomorrow to follow up on that. We have sent that. There's one or two residents there we've sent notices to about annually for that site
visit. Because I see it does get cut back
every
once in a while, so I know we've done it, and it will help there. It's just getting growth. All right, library, Ms. Trumpman.
I've got stuff too. The library is going to be closed on Monday, August 29th, and Tuesday, August 30th, and that's for the new carpeting project. Yay! But we will have curbside available from 10 to 5 on both of those days. We also are going to be closed on Monday, September 5th, which is Labor Day. Plan accordingly.
Allison, we should also recognize you for the amazing book sale. That was since our last meeting, since we didn't have a meeting in the middle of the month.
Yes.
We got lots of notes about how amazing it all was and how many people were there. So thank you to you and your team for your amazing work.
Yeah, that's mostly the friends. They did a fantastic job, and they raised $37,500. So they did really well. Yeah, lots of horses
up.
Exactly.
All right, thank you, Allison. Parks and Rec, Zach.
Thank you. With school back in session, the outdoor pool will be modified for the remainder of the season. We'll continue to operate the indoor pools on the weekdays. And the outdoor pool will open the next two weekends from 12 to 6:30, and on Labor Day from 12 to 4. Like I said, with our seasonal staff back to school, we are still very much in need of lifeguards, especially during the morning and daytime hours. We've already run two free American Red Cross lifeguarding courses, and we'll be holding a third one here within the next couple of weeks. So there is still time for anyone interested to join. They would just need to submit an application on Indeed or through the township website. And that was really aimed at Mr. Gamble, who's attempting to land him tonight, but it appears I've missed my chance.
Listen, it's a shame. I mean, everybody is struggling to hire help everywhere, and then on top of it, you know, there's generally a lifeguard shortage that everyone in the area that needs lifeguards is experiencing. So it's really disappointing, and I know there's not much we can do. I know that Melissa Weigel, the executive director at the Leader Center, sent a notice to the seniors, to the members of the Senior Center, trying to solicit folks that might want to become lifeguards. I mean, there's any number of really active seniors that belong. So, I mean, we're desperate. We are desperate. But like everybody else that is operating pools, but we regret that we can't keep the pool open as much as we want to keep it open right now. But thank you for the efforts that you're making, and I know your staff over at the community center continues to do a really, really good job, Zach. It's a pleasure to be, it's a pleasure to observe them. I mean, they're really very helpful and attentive to folks over there, so thank you.
Thank you. That's cool.
Right, township engineer, let's see, is sitting in for the usually very verbose Mr. Bonanno.
Hello, nice to meet everyone. I don't have any reports for tonight.
I see that you have expertly delivered Mr. Bonanno's report.
I tracked this before I got here.
Thank you very much for being here and for delivering his report. Mr. Emmerich, community development.
Just one thing, I believe the board's aware that Darren Robinson, his wife had gotten a job she couldn't refuse in Nashville, Tennessee, and for whatever reason, he went there with her. So, you know, we lost him as an employee. We just recently hired Peter Snyderman, who was also one of our volunteer firefighters. He had his own home inspection business. He may have worked for our manager at the township at one point. Came highly recommended from the manager of our township as well as the fire chief. He's here for a second week, and he's presently doing building code official classes online in the office. So we look forward to great things from him.
Maybe one of the next meetings bring in Chuck and just introduce him. I think it's important for all the department heads when you hire new people. I mean, we get to see the officers that the chief hires because we're swearing them in here. But it is nice to see who the township hires, and so we get to see them, they get to see us, and the community gets to meet them. So, you know, feel free to bring them to any meeting.
He was actually here when the fire company was making the presentation for gaming monies, but he didn't work for me then. But we'll bring him back.
Yeah, it'd be nice. All right, thank you, Chuck. Mr. Edward, Mr. Chrisman, that's right, township manager.
I have no report this evening.
Okay. So this is the second user public comment session. Anybody wishing to address the board at this time, feel free to come forward. All right, seeing as no one is coming forward, we will close the visitor public comment session. That will take us to adjournment, so we need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zanu. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.